Ouch.
Welcome to the Ouch Talk Show. It's wow. a disability thing. That was a bit...
That was weird. Where did the music go? What did you do with it, Simon?
I didn't.
Where's it gone?
But thanks for introducing me. I am Simon Minty.
You are Simon Minty. And I'm Kate Monaghan. And the way this show works is, well, we're disabled and so are our guests. So, I mean, it's quite simple, really, isn't it?
It is. Let's meet them. To celebrate BBC Music Day, which was on June the 3rd, we have Nicholas McCarthy with us. Nicholas is the concert pianist who has one hand. And it's this limb difference and impressive talent which have made him popular with the media. So what's the question you get asked most often?
You know, there's always an awkward moment when you're at parties and people say, what do you do for a living? And the last thing they expect me to say is I'm a concert pianist with one hand. So, yeah, I sometimes lie at parties because sometimes I can't be bothered to explain. I'll just be like, oh, I'll just show them a YouTube video.
But when you say I'm a concert pianist, do you occasionally get people who think, oh, he's a little bit sarcastic or something like that? Do they not believe 100%, you in that sense?
That happens more often than you would think.
So then you almost have to defend your position.
I really am. Google me.
Do you have like a video on your phone that you just go, no, really, look, here, here?
No, I need that. It's just ready to go, kind of a ready to go video.
Ruth Madeley is also with us.
Hi.
Hi, Ruth. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, she's one of the stars of Jack Thorne's BAFTA-winning drama, Don't Take My Baby, which aired on BBC Three last year.
Loved it.
It was so good.
Too good to me.
But 10 years ago, she was on this very programme, Being Our Work Experience Kid. Do you remember that, Ruth?
Yes, I do. I'm actually quite frightened now because you're going to let me listen to stuff that I don't want to listen to.
I just don't know what you mean by that. There's no
chance
of
our producers doing that to you,
Ruth, honestly.
I think we've got time to find something. Thanks for the little idea there. That's really appreciated.
Did you enjoy being an Ouch work experience?
Oh, it was fab. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you have to say that.
Yeah, I really do.
Later, we'll be speaking to two people on the scheme called Gig Buddies. It pairs learning disabled adults with like-minded volunteers so they can go to gigs together.
And we've got music from New York rap duo Four Wheel City and the return of the quiz that just won't go away. So I'm going to whisper it. Simon, we're going to play Vegetable, Vegetable or Vegetable.
I am really, really excited about this. This is an honour, isn't it? As well as
an honour and a privilege. It sure is. And I'm just excited because I get the chance to prove my disability knowledge is well above yours.
Yeah, the sort of math and Liz did it sillily, never to guess it right. We're going to be weirdly competitive, aren't we?
Well, I am.
All right.
Anyway, but first, let's get back to Nicholas McCarthy. Now, Nicholas, sometimes it feels people are in competition, that disabled people particularly are in competition to see who can do the most unlikely job with the impairment that they have. So last month, we had a one-armed chef. Mm-hmm. This month, we have a one-armed pianist. Now, I just want to ask, why? What made you, at a young age, just think to yourself, yeah, I've got one arm, but it's going to be the piano for me?
I actually wanted, it was Ronnie Murray you had on, wasn't it, last time? And he tweeted me earlier, and I actually wanted to be a chef when I was younger, so I was equally as drawn to these two-handed jobs. I don't know why. And then I saw a friend of mine play a Beethoven piano sonata at the age of 14. That's how old I was when I started. And I just had one of those epiphany moments, really, where I was like, that is what I want to do as a career. Not just to learn the piano, I wanted to earn my money playing the piano.
So what did your parents say when you came to them and said, Mum, Dad, I want to play the piano?
My mum and dad have always been so supportive, and they've always brought me up to know, even though, yes, I am physically different, they've always, you know, brought me up for me to feel completely confident in any situation. They were always there. And I think also, you know what it's like at the age of 14? You've got that kind of teenage invincibility almost.
You can do anything.
Exactly. And that's what I felt. I was like, I can be a concert pianist.
Had you never... You had played the piano before, then?
No, I hadn't even read a note of music. We come from a very unmusical family, so I don't really know where I arrived from, really. But, yeah, that's how it started.
And how did you find a piano teacher that was willing to...
Well, I just didn't tell them. I didn't tell them about my lack of a hand. So she turned up on the day.
After the fifth lesson, did they spot something?
Maybe. I'm not sure. No, on the day, it was quite funny because I to be honest, I just forget, though. I mean, I'm sure we all do, you know, with our various different disabilities. I don't always be like, hi, I'm Nicholas McCarthy. I have one hand. Mm. So when I was on the phone organising this first lesson, I completely forgot, just genuinely forgot to say, oh, by the way, I have one hand. So when she turned up on the day to, you know, I opened the front door, and it was kind of that moment of horror where she saw me, smiled and looked down at my right arm that wasn't there. And was like, have I got the right house? You are learning piano, is that correct? So anyway, I then played to her, and she was then crying. I was hoping in a good way, not that I was that terrible.
Okay. And so had you taught yourself a little bit before your lesson?
I taught myself a little bit, yeah. So by that stage, I was probably at about a grade two or grade three level. I kind of
That's quite impressive for self-teaching.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it so much. I kind of replaced my PlayStation with my piano. And that is it was a hobby. It was a complete, you know, it overtook me, really.
Do you get a little kick, or maybe as a 14, 15-year-old, you've got a kick to be contrary? Or is it just the love of the piano and that epiphany that was like...
A bit of everything, really. I loved the attention, of course, you know, and at school and everyone, you know, oh, my God, Nick's amazing at the piano, blah, blah, blah. Of course that's good. I'm an artist. I'm an ego. You know, we all have egos. And secondly, it was the fact that, you know, it's unexpected, and I love that. I love a bit of shock value, to be honest. So yeah, I think it was all a combination of those things.
Do you think we should listen to
it? Well, I just think that people aren't going to believe that you're any good unless we hear you.
Yeah, we had to go on YouTube. Exactly.
Because
yeah.
When I got told we were having a one-armed pianist, I was like, oh, great, it's going to be
roll
another
your
one.
Eyes. Yeah,
exactly. And then I, yeah, you know, Emma sent me some clips and I was thinking, I don't even believe that this is him playing. So I kind of want to see it in the flesh. How about you?
I'd love to.
All right, do you want to go off to our
Absolutely.
Piano in the studio? Which I'm not sure we've ever had anyone playing on the podcast, have we?
Not piano. There's always a blooming great grand piano in the studio, which is fabulous. But
right, so Nicholas is ready to go at our piano. So, Nicholas, take it away.
Say it.
He's really doing it.
That's so beautiful.
Yes, very dramatic as well for us.
Well, a nice bit of Russian romantic Scriabin to start our day.
Thank you for telling us what it was as well.
So how do you do... Like, I don't even know how you do that.
So it's a lot of very fast movement. Basically, my job as a left-hand alone pianist is to create an illusion that there's two or three hands playing at once, whereas, in fact, as you've just seen, there's only one hand playing. And it all stems from basically the 19th century onwards, that it was a tradition for left hand, not right hand, left hand alone pianists. So basically a two-handed pianist would play a big concert, and they used to have rock star status back in the day. Mm. And they would play this massive sold-out concert, and obviously the crowd would be going wild at the end. And as an encore, the pianist would often say, right, you thought I was good with two hands. Wait till you see what I can do with my left hand, because the left hand is naturally your weaker hand to most people. So it was almost like an ironic thing. Look what I could do with my weak hand. And they would play this amazing left-hand virtuoso firework kind of thing at the piano, and it would just send the crowd wild. Wow. And then if we cast our mind forward in history, the First World War happened, and so many servicemen obviously lost limbs in battle. Statistically, usually the right arm, because most people are right-handed, so you're more likely to injure that. And then that's how, again, the repertoire was then expanded further by commissions of, you know, the big-named composers of the day.
So Emma, our producer, is a blind person, and it sort of just blows her mind, doesn't it? So
I think it does. Well, she wants to feel how you do it because she
it
can't
would be
see
delightful
it.
Delightful to have Emma feel me this morning. That would be fine.
She's going to feel or touch Nicholas as he plays
so on his arm and hand.
Just to be very clear about that.
Okay. Well, that's what we're hoping.
And then almost try and follow it.
Okay, I'm going to try not to touch you too heavily because then you'll get it wrong.
Nicholas has just guided Emma's hand onto his hand so that they've got a starting point there. And I think he's just about to play.
We'll watch Emma's face. This should be fun.
I actually can't find his hand. Struggling to follow it.
Emma just can't keep up, I don't think.
Nicholas is only one handed.
I'm now getting in his way, trying to find his hand.
All right, Nicholas is losing it a little bit now.
I think he's actually playing with me now. Where?
She really can't keep up at all.
That's incredible.
I felt bad. I almost wanted just to grab your hand and be like, no, I'm here.
Left a bit, right a bit.
While you're there, Nicholas, we're just going to get a deaf person to lay on the piano so they can feel the vibrations. We're going to work through a whole load of impairment groups.
Bring them in.
Thank you so much for doing that, Nicholas. That's the sort of quality journalism that we do here at BBC Ouch.
Yep.
Kate.
Is there anything that you can't play that you wish you could play?
There's so many people. You know, Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto, for instance, you know, I'd probably be able to make an arrangement of it, but why would I? Because I'd rather see a two-handed pianist play it, you know, with all the notes in there. So when I was younger, I had to accept that I had to wave goodbye to all of these big pieces like Tchaikovsky's First Piano Concerto and Rack 2 and things that I would never be able to play. But I had to say hello to all this repertoire, which I do play, and there's so much of it. So, yeah, it's something I had to come to terms with, and I found difficult.
How did that feel?
It was hard, because I, you know, I love Mozart, for instance, yet Mozart didn't write anything for Left Hand Alone, so...
He always had that selfish reputation, didn't he? Very sort of anti-disability.
Unlike Beethoven.
Yeah, oh, he loved it.
And then I obviously found all this wonderful repertoire, and now I'm so happy playing that, so, you know, it's fine now.
We're saying you're not a one-arm pianist, and that's true, but you do have a little...
I have a little arm, yeah, so I basically... I haven't got my hand, wrist, or most of my forearm, but I have got my elbow and a very small part of my forearm. So it's perfect for carrying drinks in bars, really. I can still carry my, you know, my friend's drinks.
I mean, that's the most important thing.
That is really...
So as long as that's sorted.
Exactly, as long as that was there.
But did you ever play with it? Did you ever use it?
Yeah, I did. When I first started out, I used to use my little arm to play a one note, obviously in the right, and then my left hand. And then I decided to specialise in left-hand repertoire as it's a serious repertoire. Mm. And I could see I could have a full lifelong career by specialising in left-hand repertoire, whereas if I was to play with my little arm, my left hand, I wouldn't have gone through to the Royal College like that. I wouldn't be able to play the repertoire sufficiently enough.
Why is that? Because you
Well, if you think most, you know, if you take a piece of Rachmaninoff, for instance, often in the right hand and the left hand, there's five note chords in both hands. Well, obviously, I'd only ever be able to play one note in my right hand and then the chords in the left. So I'm always never going to be playing every single note. And when you're being judged constantly on technical ability, musicality, if I'm not playing all the notes that a two-handed pianist is playing, then really, I'm not playing the same piece.
I like it. You're being a purist. I always think Britain's Got Talent, those things. They always have someone, particularly in Japan or something, and there's been the one. And you've avoided that, and you're not trying to...
Which was difficult. I mean, I'm a massive fan of the show, but I can literally, even if I didn't own a calendar, I would know the month, because every April, one of the producers contacts my management and says,
right,
can Nicholas do the show?
Yeah.
And when I was first starting out and I didn't have management, they were absolutely doing everything in their power to make sure they had me on the show.
Yeah.
And as much as it would have been wonderful, and, you know, I wouldn't have won it, I'm a classical musician, but, you know, it would have been big exposure.
But short term?
It would have been short-lived, and I really didn't want that. And also, the classical music world is a very, very difficult world, and I've worked very hard to keep those doors open and have done it successfully. And if I did a show like that, those doors would very quickly slam shut, and I'd always be known as Britain's Got Talent finalist, or Britain's Got Talent semi-finalist, or competitor Nicholas McCarthy. I'd never be able to shake that off. So I avoided that, and I'm very pleased I did, to be honest.
Good, not for the quick fix. I mean, Ruth, are you musical? Have you played an instrument?
I played the violin when I was younger, but nothing... Nothing anywhere.
Would you
near
would
as
you
good
go on
else.
Britain's Got Talent with your violin?
Would
because
I
you're
have.
In a
Can you
wheelchair?
No, not at all.
Oh, but think of the money and the fame for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of how many people would laugh at me, really, rather than anything else.
This is your chance to plug your tour and anything else you want to plug. Do you want to take this opportunity?
Thanks. Yeah, well, it was so lovely because last year, I mean, every live music, you know, whether you're classical, pop, rock, we're all chasing that big record deal, and that happened for me last year. I signed to Warner Music, which is the same record label as Ed Sheeran and Coldplay,
fancy.
Which is nice. So I'm obviously on the classic side.
You're
of it,
on the
so,
big league, yeah. In the big league.
And that was a really, really big deal for me. So I was thrilled. So my album Solo came out in September. And it got to number 4 in the charts.
Well,
who knew
done.
A disabled artist getting to number 4? It doesn't really happen that
is
often.
Is there like a picture of you with just your one arm up in the air and, you know?
There isn't, but I might have to get that commissioned.
Yeah, I think
that needs to be there.
Yeah, definitely.
But just to kind of reinforce
everything? Just to reinforce what's happening here.
Right.
You know. Just the one arm.
You know what was
piano.
Funny? When the album came out, it was Classic FM Album of the Week. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that on BBC, but anyway. And John Suchet had to keep mentioning after he played my tracks all week, he had to see, and just remember that is one hand playing, because obviously it's radio, so you don't know that it's one hand playing at all unless you see me in live.
You've given me a thought. When you get that sort of acclaim or praise or whatever, is there a little bit of you kind of goes, I hope it's not just because of that one hand thing? Or do you have a little conflict with that sometimes? You're saying, no, I'm a fabulous regardless.
Not at all. I think, you know, we're all curious human beings, aren't we? And I see time and time again on my concert tours and my concerts that people will come and they'll be quite honest. They'll be like, well, I saw you on the telly and I, you know, me and my husband's never been to a classical concert before, but we wanted to come and see you. But then I see them time and time again from that moment onwards, which then means that they're then there for the music, they're there for the whole thing. I'm playing all over the place, Durham, Leeds, London, Lichfield, Colchester and Devon. And you can get all the details are on my website, nicholasmccarthy.co.uk.
So a little challenge, because the famous two-handed piece is chopsticks.
Are we really going to ask a classical musician?
No, you're not.
If they can play.
I was just saying, there's a piece for two-handed which I don't agree with today. That's
inappropriate,
I'd
say.
You were just making a statement, weren't you? There?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. The years of study at the Royal College of Music, and you were just making that statement.
I think Emma's totally inappropriate. Emma comes in and fills you up, and now she's trying to say, make him play something that is impossible. I mean, what do? We're just puppets here. I apologise, Nicholas, on behalf of our producer.
But if we wanted you to play it, you could play it, right?
Well, you'd have to go through my management about that, I think.
Yeah.
It's going to be a YouTube sensation.
Thank you, Nicholas. We appreciate it.
I'm still getting asked, could you physically, or is it just physically impossible?
I would be able to, yes. I can pretty much play anything, but I would have to go away and make a nice arrangement, especially for
right.
you.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, a very hefty fee is involved in that, so
I mean,
I'm not sure that will happen.
Well, it's out. We have
limitless amounts of
money.
It's
here.
A bottomless bit of money.
Yeah, it's a bottomless bit. It's
and
fine.
I'm glad to finish the interview on such an awkward note, and you sort of smilingly, politely, as going, what an idiot he is. I swear.
bbc.co.uk/ouch.
We love receiving your feedback, and Gabe Culver from Essex got in touch recently to say he doesn't feel represented by us or anybody else in the media. He tells us that speech and fatigue issues means that it's difficult for him to be on the show in person, so we're going to read out his email.
I just listened to your Sex and Money episode. I always feel frustrated when the subject of it's society that disables people and benefits and stuff comes up, because while many disabled people may be fully capable of a normal life with the right accommodations or whatever, there is a group of us that never seems to get mentioned. I am severely disabled enough to be mostly bedbound, with a combination of ME, Ehlers-Danlos and many of the associated conditions and issues that often seem to come with the syndrome. And there are honestly no conditions, adaptions, accommodations, etc. that could make it possible for me to hold down any kind of job. Even as a 19-year-old, before my health had deteriorated to a fraction of how bad it is now, I became seriously ill by trying to force myself to keep working at a part-time job when my symptoms were telling me that it was more than my body could handle. I detest not being able to earn my own keep in the world and support my family. I have tried many ways to somehow earn my own money over the years, but all it has ever done is to rapidly end up with me capable of even less as my body deteriorates under the strain.
That's an extract from a much longer email. He asks, please, ouch, give a voice to disabled people like me, as well as those who need acceptance and provision to be able to live full and active lives.
There's lots of discussions about making disabled people more visible in the media, and he raises a very, very interesting and difficult
point. And we'd love to hear what everybody thinks about this. Please do get in touch with ouch@bbc.co.uk to get your voice on the podcast.
Ruth, do you feel there's a sort of pressure, I don't know, to represent all disabled people? Do you understand where Gabe's coming from in terms of when your impairment really stops you doing something and adjustments are not going to make any difference?
I think it's a really, really difficult subject to breach, but one that needs to be discussed, really. I am incredibly lucky with my disability not really limiting me in the same way.
You've got spina bifida, is that
right? Spina bifida and scoliosis, yeah. I was born with my disability. And there have been times when I, growing up and my young adult life, where I was incredibly poorly. So, in effect, my disability did stop me for a certain amount of time. So I can't say that I understand completely because I'm not living that every day. But I do think it's a conversation that needs to be had. There are plenty of people out there who have to rely on the systems in place to survive. And, yeah, more representation of any kind of diversity, I think, can only be a good thing.
I think it's a really interesting subject because for people who do have disabilities that mean they can't work, they can't get out.
Yeah.
In the past, the disability movement has been all about this is what we can do, this is what we can achieve, look at everything we can do. And then I guess there's a section of the disability community that's getting left behind in that. Simon, what do you think?
Yeah, although I think there's sort of some of the mood music at the moment is we can't do this, we can't do that, but because it's saying because we haven't got the support or the adjustments or whatever it may be. I get what he's saying, that thing, I want to be earning money and that's how to, I think being productive or contributing or having value in life doesn't necessarily mean you've got to go out and work and earn money. There are a ton of, I know people with such severe impairments that that's not going to happen, but they do other things. And you're nodding at me, Nicholas. I mean, where are you at on this?
I completely agree with what you were saying there. It, you know, that validation of actually earning money, I don't think is, it should be a validation. You know, I completely understand where he's coming from and how he must feel, but I'm sure he could probably find something that he may be able to do which gives him that validation that he's obviously needing, and I would need the same. You know, I'm sure we all would.
Oh, God, definitely.
But that isn't a monetary thing, you know.
There's also an add-on, and I think this is starting to change, and I don't know if this is me reaching middle age, so these things happen naturally.
But when you say that as if you're just reaching middle age. I think you've been there a while, Simon.
Silver fox over there.
OK, thanks. I don't know where to go now. The point being, you know, we're meant to be invincible. It's allowed to be invincible in that we can accept that our impairments are going to stop us physically. Tom Shakespeare was the one. He's undermining the social model. It's saying, you know, blind people won't see the sunrise. There's no adjustment. And it's OK, that is true.
Yeah. Thank you so much for getting in touch, Gabe. And if you want to comment on that or anything that we've been chatting about today, please do get in touch. ouch@bbc.co.uk.
I don't feel I explained that properly. I might write an email in to comment
write
on
in
that.
For next month. Great. And then we might read it out if it was good.
If you're lucky.
Hello, Hannah and Maria.
Hello.
Now, the two of you are part of the Gig Buddy scheme where non-disabled volunteers are paired with people with learning difficulties who want to go to gigs. You're on the line from Brighton. And Maria, how often do you see people with learning difficulties on TV and magazines?
None.
Great.
Yeah, I think that is a good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched the Yay Word.
What did you think?
I thought it was really good.
What did you enjoy about it?
The little boy.
Yeah, so for anybody who hasn't seen the A Word.
Yes, what is it?
It's a BBC One drama about a young boy with autism and his life. And it was really good. I really enjoyed it too.
Yeah, it's good.
Now, you are here to talk about gig buddies. The basic idea of this scheme is to develop friendships and expand social circles. Yes. Now, we've got a clip here of a gig buddies night out. So let's have a listen.
She can live her life and we can live our life. Why should anybody of 26 go around with mum and dad all the time? And I trust this lady that's coming to pick her up and we'll give it a go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
That was a clip of a mum and a daughter who is part of the Gig Buddy scheme. Now, Maria and Hannah, you were matched with each other over a year ago now, and you still hit the town regularly. But Maria, what do you like about Hannah? What do you do with her?
We go to concerts.
Yeah, what kind of concerts do you go to? Who have you seen?
Little Mermaid, Years and Years and Years.
Oh, good choices. I met Years and Years in the airport recently.
Really?
Yeah, they were really nice.
I love Phil Volley.
Yeah,
you
know,
love the lead singer,
so
don't
cool.
you?
He's so cool. He's very handsome as well.
No, not for me.
I know you sound like pop music. Do you think you'd come along and see Nicholas playing the piano? Would you like to do that?
Yeah, definitely.
I'd love to have you there, darling.
Has Hannah become your friend?
Yes.
And what do you like about Hannah? Is that a difficult question?
Yeah, it is.
It's quite personal as
it's
well,
quite
isn't
personal.
It? Yeah, what do you like about
Come
me,
on,
Kate?
Maria, you must like something.
I feel like there's maybe nothing, Hannah, I'm afraid.
Is it my dance moves?
She's fun to go out with.
Well, I mean, that's what you want in a gig buddy, really, isn't it? Somebody
Absolutely.
Who's fun to go out with. Now, Hannah, why did you volunteer for this?
Well, I work with children and young people with special needs in my work life anyway. And I heard about the organisation. I thought it was a really great idea. And I've always volunteered for lots of different things. So I'm kind of a bit of a volunteer addict. And it looked like a really fun thing to do for me as well.
Which is just a good answer, is it not, that you can get to go and see concerts for free? Is that not part of the thing?
It's yeah, a perk
yeah,
of that's
the job.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think if you're volunteering, you should definitely
get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, get into it yourself. I think that's why I like it the most, because I get something out of it, Maria gets something out of it, and we both have a good time and we get to go to gigs together and we do have fun.
Maria, what happens when you go out? What's your favourite thing to do?
Clubbing.
What do you do at the night in the clubs?
I dance.
Maria likes to have dance-offs with people. She can catch their eye.
Excellent.
She'll challenge them to a duel.
And who normally wins, Maria?
Me.
Every time.
Excellent. Yeah.
I think the gig buddy should be reversed as well. I had tickets to go and see an 80s band called Orchestra Maneuvers in the Dark, and nobody I knew wanted to come with me.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is. So.
Blank face from me as well.
Yeah,
sorry.
So you're saying you need a gig buddy?
No, but what happened, a friend of a friend did know somebody. This person happened to have autism. They were my gig buddy and came along with me. I
so
wanted
you
to go
had
with
someone to go with?
Yeah, I wanted someone who was going to enjoy it, not someone like Kate or Nicholas who would go, I don't want to be here, I don't know this music. So it worked out perfectly. But
yeah,
it is
not a
important.
One-way thing.
Exactly. I think that works. Maria, I hear you're going to Glastonbury this year.
Yeah.
That sounds a little bit exciting. I've never been. Who are you most looking forward to see?
Adele, Ellie Goulding, Years and Years.
She's got good taste.
Yeah.
That's a very good musical taste there, Maria. I'm liking
Beyonce.
Your soundtrack.
Oh, I'm Beyonce, of
Beyonce.
Course.
Yeah. Queen.
So I've heard 3 out of 4 of those. I still don't know who Years and Years are. All right.
They're
You'll
a very
love
trendy
them.
Young band.
They're
yes.
great.
Yes.
Okay, I'll check them out. Thanks, yeah. everybody.
So, Hannah, did you have to do training to become a volunteer? Did you just get stuck in? How does it work?
Yeah, everyone who becomes a gig buddy goes on a one-day training. It's mostly sort of safeguarding and talking about different situations you might face depending on who you get paired with and how you might overcome those difficulties or situations that arise.
And Gig Buddies is the brainchild of Paul Richards. I understand Paul's lurking in the background. I think I heard your laughter there, Paul.
He is here.
It's part of the bigger Stay Up Late campaign. Remind us what that is, Paul.
Stay Up Late was started... I was the bass player in the punk band Heavy Load.
Mm.
And three of the members of Heavy Load had learning disabilities, and we got fed up with seeing people leaving our gigs at 9 o'clock just as soon as we got on the stage, and we never for once considered it was anything to do with our rather chaotic and peculiar performances. We thought maybe something else was going on, and it was about inflexible support, which it was. And Stay Up Late, Spread, we've been a charity for about 4 years. And the idea is just to challenge and change inflexible support systems that institutionalise people, yeah, whether they're living in a one-bedroom flat or a massive place. You know, you can easily create little institutions.
I've come across it once or twice, and the idea that 9 o'clock, that means your evening's over, that's...
Yeah, done.
That's no independence. That's really... It makes me feel really awkward. I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I always say there's two reasons why you should leave a gig at 9 o'clock, because you're tired or because the band's crap.
Right.
Yeah.
You have been gig buddies for a year now. Maria, how does it feel to have a gig buddy? How has your life changed?
It's great, fun.
And do you get out more often?
Yeah.
And do you stay out late?
Yeah.
What time do you get home from a night out?
Yeah, probably between midnight and one in the morning, depending on the gig or the night of the week. Because I have a job, so I can't always stay out that late.
Is Maria always wanting to stay out later than you then, Hannah?
Yes. I'm a bit of a wimp, but I try.
Yeah, she is.
Hannah, you're sort of defeating the purpose here. So stay out late, but not too late, because I'm a little bit tired. What's going on?
Would you like the gig buddies at your concerts? Would you like to see some of that?
100%. Let me. Yeah, I'll be giving VIP tickets to all of them. If they want to come, that'll be a pleasure.
Hey, shall we go, Maria?
Yeah, definitely.
Lovely. It'll be lovely to have you there.
Excellent. Thank you, Maria, Hannah and Paul. It was lovely to speak to you.
Thank you. Nice to speak to you too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Coming up at the end of the show. Stop what you think. Welcome to reality. You think you're rough, you think you're tough, you think you're bad as me. You think you're hard, you think you're... That's Welcome to Reality, which I feel like I just got a little Welcome to Reality
blast
there.
Off, yeah.
The latest track from New York hip hop band Four Wheel City. Now, nobody can say we are not diverse in our musicality today.
I mean, have rap at the end, though, don't we?
We do often have rap, but not generally with a concert pianist in the show as well.
Got you. Nice touch.
Yeah.
As we mentioned earlier, we at Ouch have known of Ruth Madeley for a decade, but she's come a long way since then.
Since work experience.
That's what we like to give them a start, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We start, we launch careers.
Since that breakthrough role, or breakout role as we call it, she has been in CBBC's Half Moon Chronicles, E4 drama Fresh Meat, and will soon star in the new ITV crime drama The Level.
Ruth got her big break recently, however, as Anna in the BAFTA-winning BBC Three drama Don't Take My Baby. I'm so jealous. Always wanted to win a BAFTA. In it, a physically disabled mum, played by Ruth, and a visually impaired dad are assessed by a social work team on their ability to care for their new baby daughter. Now, it's on iPlayer until mid-August, so please check it out if you haven't already. It's brilliant. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't have watched it, but if you're like Simon...
The confession was, because of what we do, it's constant disability, disability, disability. And then when it came out, I thought, I don't know if I want to watch some blooming drama as well. That's
miserable
why I missed it.
Miserable disability drama, is that what
you thought? Yeah, I get that.
So some BAFTA award winning.
I haven't even got the BAFTA at that point.
It's all right, Simon. So, no. Offended at all.
And then I got back late last night and Emma said, you've got to watch it. And I was like, oh, thanks, Emma. And so I put it on, and then there's that opening little bit that just establishes both of you. It's sexy. It's cool. There's some mystery about you. And then I just loved it.
Oh,
absolutely
thank you.
Loved it. It was just, it was awesome.
Thank you very much.
It's very emotionally charged. Victoria Wright, who's a mum with a disability, tweeted at the time, brilliant work from BBC Three with Don't Take My Baby, highlighting the intense scrutiny disabled people go through after having children.
Yeah.
Of course, that's not everyone's experience, thankfully.
Yeah, no, I'm glad about that because
it's all happening
I'm
to
about to be a mum. And, my wife and I both have disabilities, so that's going to be fun. I remember sitting watching it with Holly, and both of us sort of looked at each other and said, oh gosh, are we going to have to go through that? Is it going to be like that? But
just from friends and family, I'd imagine.
just from our mum saying, you can't do this.
What are you doing? Ruth, what sort of feedback did you get after it was aired?
You know something? I was completely overwhelmed by how great the response was from everyone. Had some really lovely tweets and press articles as well, just saying a lot of people were saying how shocked they were at the statistics of this happening every year. Yeah. It's over 10,000 cases that are brought to social services like this every year. So
that is a huge amount.
I know. I was really shocked. I mean, I knew it was a thing. I didn't realise just how many cases there were. So to bring that to the forefront of people's minds was really great for us.
The beauty of the show, or the drama, was this kind of flip-flop. I knew my position, or what I thought I knew at the beginning, and then flip-flop throughout.
Yeah.
But
I think the great thing about the piece was the director, writer, producer, everybody wanted to make it, I guess, a very unbiased piece where people could see both sides of the argument.
Yeah.
And at the end, people would decide, oh, I don't know whether they should have kept the baby, or people saying, yes, of course they should have kept the baby. And it was just a conversation that needed to be started, and I think they achieved that.
I mean, but 3,000... is it that they have disabled parents have their child taken away?
Yeah.
Which, so 11,000 were assessed. I'm trying to put a silver, you know, silver lining on it. It's been that 8,000 do keep their baby. But you've got to watch the drama, because then you kind of see the stress of this. That should we have a listen? That might be an idea. Should we have a little listen to a clip?
I'm sorry if being our daughter has given you challenges in life. There are times when I feel so stuck in this chair. And I hope you never feel stuck with us, because we'd never want that.
That was you doing a little sort of video diary for your daughter in the future. How did you prepare for Don't Take My Baby?
For me, the writing was incredible. Jack Vaughan is pretty much a genius, so... The script was incredible to work with anyway, but I guess I don't have children of my own, but my sister has a little boy, and I just really kind of followed her around for quite a while, just watching how she is with him every day and really kind of understanding that bond. And I guess I learned a lot from my mum as well.
I assume she's not disabled, though, your sister.
No, she isn't, no, but I don't know that many disabled parents, so I had to go with what I had to hand.
What did you feel about being a young disabled woman who you may well have considered children? Did doing that role, did it kind of affect your personal view as well?
Yeah, again, because of the number of cases like this, so yeah, I was particularly shocked by that, and it does make you think, oh my goodness, is this something that me and my boyfriend are going to have to deal with when we decide to have children? Is it right for me to want to have children? All that kind of stuff. It makes you question an awful lot, but it was the best opportunity I've ever had, both as an actress, but also just personally, just to be able to explore that and share that story with so many people on such a high level.
So you've got spina bifida, and Anna's character has a muscle wasting condition.
Yes.
Did it feel weird playing somebody who had a different disability?
Yeah, and I loved that, to be fair. I mean, I'm not going to sit here for 1 minute and say that I'm an expert on every disability there is out there. I'm not. So it was really interesting to explore something that was completely different than the disability I had. Anna has no use of her legs at all, and she had very little use of her arms, so it was very new to have to sit there and remember that this character doesn't have as much mobility as I do.
Did you have any qualms about... You're not really cripping up, but you are kind of cripping
up. Yeah, it's a kind of... It's a fake. You're fake.
You're kind of faking the disability again. And also, much to Simon's distress this morning, I had to reveal to him that the visually impaired male... In the drama, I can't remember his name.
Adam Long. He played Tom. Yeah.
I was just lapping up every moment of this, and then I said, "Oh, this reminds me of my friend Liam O'Carroll, who's a blind guy who's married to a blind woman, and they've had a baby."
Yeah.
And then Liam pops up, and I said, "This programme is so authentic. They've even got the dad to have the visual impairment." But then I found out this morning,
your co-star did not have.
No, he didn't. No.
Did you mind? Was that an issue for you?
Not personally for me. I mean, I'm not a casting director. I don't make those calls. But Adam was an absolute joy to work with, and he made the whole process so much easier for me as an actress to be able to work with him. He's done so many amazing things, so he was just an absolute joy to work with.
So they did really look very hard for a blind actor who had the talent and the age and all the other profiles. So, it wasn't for want of trying, put it that way. We've talked about Jack Thorne being an awesome writer, and there was something familiar because he wrote The Secret Life of Sugar Water, which I saw in Edinburgh. And that's another two young, beautiful, disabled people. But we hear you're writing, and something I love, comedy. Are you writing a comedy series?
I'm currently working on a couple of different things, really. Nothing that's... that I'm confident in sharing yet, but we're getting there slowly. It's just really nice to be able to explore different sides of the TV world, comedy, drama, lots of different things.
You've been very showbiz and elusive.
Oh, do you like that? That was exactly what I was going for.
What about a pilot? Did I hear you do a pilot?
I did do a pilot of something that I co-wrote a few years back. Hopefully, maybe something that could be taken forward in the future. You never know. But I am working on some new stuff as well.
And we've been listening back to your first appearance on Ouch.
As
you knew we would.
Is that the time? I really have to shoot.
Back when you were at the ripe old age of 19.
No, oh, goodness.
As well as making, you get our demanding, difficult producers, Damon and Emma, coffee. We asked you to come up with some ideas for the show, and you suggested we ask disabled people what they say to nosy members of the public who ask how they became disabled.
Yeah.
And I think we've got your response to that question.
What did I say?
Well, let's find out.
I was shot.
You were shot?
In the ghetto.
You were shot in the ghetto?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Was that painful?
It was.
Who by?
Was it your mother?
Well, they're still looking for them. We tell people it's my best friend, and now she's my carer and looks after me. Because she feels she has to.
Oh, that's a good story. Oh, wow. That's very good, yeah.
Immense sense of pride happening over here right now.
Your acting ability was shining through already then.
Clearly. It had BAFTA written all over it, didn't it?
Yeah.
Let's face it.
And that was in the golden days of Matt and Liz, wasn't it, Simon?
Bringing back. Nicholas, do you have a one-liner when some member of the public asks a really awkward question?
Well, I used to, when I was a child, I used to say, especially when children said, why have you only got one arm? I used to say, well, I was in Florida with my parents on holiday and... it was a shark attack.
I use shark attack sometimes.
Oh, it's so dramatic,
it's
isn't it? Because
so
being
good.
Born with one hand, I mean, it's very boring, really.
I know,
boring,
when
really.
You say you're born with your disability, it's like...
They glaze
okay.
over. I find people like, okay, it's boring, yeah.
Yeah,
whereas
boring.
When I'm like, well, it was a horrific shark attack, it's so much more interesting.
I completely agree, yeah.
I often say, I was that... Do you not remember that newspaper story of the Olympic skier who had a terrible accident and then became disabled? That was me. And
wow.
People go, oh, gosh, yeah, I think I remember that. I think I remember it. And I'm like,
so much
fun. Yeah, of course you do.
Now it's time for vegetable.
Simon, it's back. The quiz where we get a caller on the line and bust a gut trying to guess their impairment.
Sarah is on the phone. Do not mention your impairment, Sarah, but how are you? Where are you?
Hello. Okay, I'll do my best. I'm currently living with my parents at the... I have trouble with my words. At the Ancestral in Shrewsbury.
Is that a clue, that
yeah,
thing?
The,
don't tell us yet, though.
She's living with her parents and she has problems with her words. Interesting. See, I'm already on it. Okay, I am going to read the rules. So everybody around
There's
the
rules.
Table, there are rules, many rules. Everyone's playing. Nicholas,
Ruth.
Yeah.
Stand by.
Simon, ready for the rules. Vegetable is a clever disability interpretation of the parlour game Animal, Vegetable or Mineral. In the game, two hosts of the Ouch Talk Show have... Well, actually, in the game, everyone on the Ouch Talk Show has 90 seconds to guess what's wrong with the disabled caller on the line by asking a series of fiendishly intelligent questions. The caller must answer only yes or no. It's both classic and therapeutic.
To take part in this intrusive game, the rules clearly state you have to be disabled. Sarah, are you disabled?
Nicholas and Ruth, are you ready to help Simon and I out with this? We have 90 seconds. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, ready. Time starts now.
Is it physical?
Yes, in part.
Oh, in part. Degenerative?
No.
Can you move around easily?
Using wheelchair.
Ruth,
are your other senses heightened?
Some of them.
Oh. Is it got a common name or is it a complex Latin name?
It hasn't got a Latin name.
I can't think of a question. Anyone else?
So does it affect your legs?
Ooh. I have got that too.
Oh, so is that two? Have you got more disabilities than just one?
I have.
Is it, what about mental stuff, as in mental health?
I have experienced that.
Ruth.
Oh, my God, this is so hard.
Do we just start throwing things out?
Can you use your hands and arms easily?
Yes.
Right.
Do you live with your parents because of your disability? You can't live on your own?
Yes.
Oh, we are really bad. So, OK, is it like multiple sclerosis?
No.
Is it Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, just because I have it?
No.
Nicholas, I can't think of a question.
Muscular dystrophy.
Oh, get
muscular
out of
dystrophy
here.
From Ruth?
No.
Any
more
you're
suggestions
a very
before?
Tricky one there.
You know what? And the people at home are going, losers. And we
really
before
are.
Thought we would nail this in about 30 seconds. It's horrendous.
I was very confident.
What does it begin with? What's the letter it begins with?
It begins with the letter A.
A.
I don't know why I thought
Hang
that
on,
would
and there's
me.
Problems with words. So are you, is it sort of Asperger's-y or autism?
Yes.
Ah!
Too late, Simon!
Actually, she gave me the first letter. It doesn't really count, does
there's
it?
There's not a lot of disabilities other than Asperger's and autism that you could go for.
So hang on, but you were giving us all this physical, multiple... you're messing us up, man. You're messing us
throwing
up.
Throwing us off the trail.
Yeah, I wasn't supposed to mention last time I had this congenital brain problem too. I was on before. It was either 5 years ago or maybe 6 years ago.
So when you were on the show 5, 6 years ago, were you doing veg, and a different condition then?
It was AVM then, but they thought that I had MS, but I didn't.
I thought you had MS. I've never even met you.
So what do people say to you, Sarah, when they find out you've got Asperger's?
Usually, but you can't have.
Why not?
I know, because you're so good at talking to people, and you can look at people, and you can go out.
How does your Asperger's sort of manifest itself, then?
In some situations, I just can't speak to people at all. I get very anxious and... Sometimes I talk too much, usually about things that people aren't interested in. I have a number of things that I like to do, and in fact, I have to be told, right, leave that alone, stop playing your music, actually remember to eat and drink. And I've had a lot of difficulties with friendships, and I need organising. There's lots to it.
That's fascinating.
Sarah, thank you so much for coming on. You are our first guest when we're reviving Veg. What fun that was. If you are listening to this and think I'd like Kate and Simon and their guests to ask awkward questions, you can. Just email us, ouch@bbc.co.uk, or tweet us at @bbcouch, or Facebook, or whatever, and just volunteer for Vegetable.
Or any other game we might dream up.
Oh,
who knows?
Like it.
Yeah.
It's time to say goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you so
much.
It's
been an absolute pleasure.
It was nice to virtually meet you.
It was lovely to virtually meet you too, and I can't wait to hear more of your
music.
I'm going
to follow you on Twitter.
Make sure you do. I will follow you back.
Thank you, Nicholas, for coming into the studio.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks to the team, Lee Kumatat, Kathleen Hawkins, Damon Rose, and producer Emma Tracy. The studio manager was Martin Appleby. Music this month is by Four Wheel City, a New York-based rap duo who both became wheelchair users when they were shot.
Oh,
so it was
real story sometimes.
Instance, yeah.
Not a Ruth story.
Not a Ruth story. Their latest is an anti-gun violence anthem, Welcome to Reality. Until next time, goodbye.
Yo.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Here we go, students.
Of the United States of America.
Time to get your heads right.
It goes stop. Welcome to reality.
Welcome.
You think you're rough, you think you're tough, you think you're bad as me. You think you're hard, you think you're God, you live your fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down like me. Stop. Think. Welcome to reality. You think you're rough, you think you're tough, you think you're bad as me. You think you're hard, you think you're God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down.
down like me. Yeah, I'm talking to you, mister. Mr. Knucklehead messing up in school, mister. Mr. Hat to the back with your do-rag on. Pants hanging off your ass thinking you mad strong. Mr. Can't think, read or write. Mr. Hanging in the streets all night. Mr. Ain't too bright. Mr. Wanna drink beer, smoke weed and shoot dice. Mr. Wanna carry guns, cause you can't fight. Mr. 20 years old, still in the ninth grade. You supposed to be in class, but you in the hallway. You living life the wrong way, headed down the wrong path. And I be trying to put you on, boy, you wanna do is laugh. Mr. Gotta stay fly, gotta stay high. Mr. Living life like you never gonna die. I ain't trying to play, I'm trying to open up your eyes. Where you end up in jail, or end up paralyzed. You better stop, think, welcome to reality. You think you rough, you think you tough, you think you bad as me. You think you hard, you think you God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down like me. Stop, think, welcome to reality. You think you rough, you think you tough, you think you bad as me. You think you hard, you think you God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down like me. Yeah, now let me talk to you, miss. Miss thinks she all that, thinks she cute, miss. Miss weaving your hair with your tight jeans on. In the mirror all day like you got it going on. Miss, all you care about is your looks. Miss, why you carry your school textbooks in your pocketbook? Miss Paris Hilton, Britney, top model wannabe. Trying to sneak up in the club with your fake ID. Miss, finish school, be all you can be. Get a college degree and grow up to be smarter than me. Right. Don't waste your time chasing Mr. Mister. It's all Mr. One. To do is hit ya, get the picture, sister, sister. I ain't trying to play you, I'm trying to convince ya. But making no mistake, I'm trying to convince ya before it's too late and reality hit ya. You better stop, think, welcome to reality. You think you rough, you think you tough, you think you bad as me. You think you hard, you think you God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down like me. Stop, think, welcome to reality. You think you rough, you think you tough, you think you bad as me. You think you hard, you think you God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up and live or end up sitting down like me. No matter whether you're Mr. or Miss, I'm trying to prevent you from ending up like this, or ending up like Rick, or ending up like Chris, or ending up stiff.
Come on,
you could end up rich. All you gotta do is stay in school, set goals, stay focused and follow through. Look at me, I'm living proof. I've been through it, seen it, wished for it, dreamed it, worked hard for it and achieved it. Please believe it. I used to could walk, but now I'm a paraplegic. But I'm here for you to see it
right here.
So take a good look, and while you at it, follow the hook and just stop, think, welcome to reality. You think you rough, you think you tough, you think you bad as me. You think you hard, you think you God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down like me. Stop, think, welcome to reality. You think you rough, you think you tough, you think you bad as me. You think you hard, you think you God, you live a fantasy. Keep it up and you gon' end up sitting down like me.
Yeah. The moral of the story is, there's consequences to your actions. So, when you out there, you in school, just make sure you stop and you think, and you realize that the choice you make today is gonna affect your life tomorrow. Yeah!
I thought you had MS. I've never even met you.